And it is recording.
Hi, my name is Sandra Brenner, and I've lived in New Milford since late summer of 1972.
Fabulous.
And I just go on?
Yeah, just.
And I got my job. I moved with three children who were going into the New Milford Public Schools, and I got my job teaching kindergarten at Main Street School, which is now the Richmond Center on the Green. And it was a delightful place to teach. We were associated with East Street. We had the same principal, and Arnold Finaldi, his name was, and he supervised East Street and Main Street. And so he was very, there were just a few of us at Main Street. Three kindergartens on the first floor, and several first grades on the second floor, and a secretary, and a part-time janitor. And the principal walked over at lunchtime. and so we had lunch every day. And it was a very lovely, compared to the schools of today, it was such a healthy place. It had big windows and high ceilings and shiny wood floors everywhere. So there was no dust. It was clean. You could breathe. And spacious. And it was just a lovely environment. And just as I moved to New Milford, there was this terrible international event with gas and oil, and we had a embargo, and we had a problem. We could only get our gas filled up on certain days, and it was, I think, alphabetical, and you had to go during the day, and I was working during the day, and these lovely, lovely parents of the children in my school, they came to see me and they said, "Mrs. Brenner, you're so busy, we're going to take charge of your car." And they would come and they made up a schedule, and they would come and they'd get my keys and they'd go stand in line for 20 minutes, a half an hour, and they'd fill up my car and then they'd bring it back. And it was just a wonderful introduction to New Milford. And I said to myself, I think this is home. And it has been home ever since.
It's amazing. I think New Milford gets knocked sometimes, but it's amazing the sense of community that really is so well defined here.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. I was just welcomed with open arms. My children went into the schools, and one daughter was at Pettibone and two were at Scaghtikoke. And they had the same bus driver, Stubby. Stubby later became the mayor. And I used to tell people, Milford.
Okay, so we had a bit of a distraction. Now we're going back to our story.
Okay, so Stubby Chapin was a dairy farmer who drove the school bus for a little income. He later became the mayor of the town. And he realized right away that these three children were new to town, and so he made an effort to make them feel at ease. And so on the first week of school, on the way home, he said, "You know what? I'm going to take you on a tour." And he dropped everybody else off, and he drove the bus around town, and he showed them Canterbury School, and he drove around. He was just so kind to them. And then when the weather got cold, we lived right on Route 109, and we had a steep driveway. And he said to them, you three, wait in the garage, and I'll stop the bus. You don't have to stand in the cold. You come down, and I'll stop, and I'll look for you, and you come down and get on the bus." You know, so that's how we were welcomed to New Milford. It has been like that for me ever since. It's just been a wonderful place to call home. Now I live in Galesville. It's a little section of New Milford that is in the northwest corner, and it's just south of Kent, and on the west is Sherman, and on the east is the Housatonic River. And it's a little village, and for some unknown reason, we have our own zip code. So we have our own little post office. And the post office is the gathering place, because there's so many dirt roads. It's really country. It doesn't feel like Connecticut. It feels like a piece of New Hampshire that's stuck on to the end, because on the other side, on the east of the Housatonic River, is the Mariel section, which is very different. It's beautiful homes, mostly weekend New Yorkers. And on our side, it's just sort of a little piece of rural New Hampshire stuck into Connecticut. And so most people have a post office box. And so you go to the post office to meet your friends, to get the local news, to read what's on the bulletin board. And it also gives you a wonderful feeling of community. One of my favorite things about Galesville is we have our own Memorial Day celebration. 8 o'clock in the morning on Memorial Day, because the people who come have to go off to the fancier Memorial Days. So we start at 8 o'clock in the morning, and the Scaticoke, the junior high school band, gathers. We have a little park, Williams Park. They gather there, and the volunteer firemen and all of their trucks and all of their fire engines and Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, some of them on decorated bikes, and veterans of foreign wars, and a few government officials, mostly elderly, drive by in cars decorated with flags, and they go from the park across the bridge, and then there's a little garden right in that right in the corner of the bridge going over Route 7 north to Kent, where there's a flagpole, and the veterans of foreign wars come out with their uniforms and their rifles, and with the band plays, the mayor comes, the local minister gives a few words, there's a rifle, you know, they shoot a gun, you know, and then everybody goes into the firehouse, and the whole community, the parade people, and all of the people who live in Galesville go to the firehouse, which is right there, and we have coffee and donuts.
Wow.
So we have our own little, I call it our Norman Rockwell Memorial Day. And it's over, you know, from 8 o'clock to 8:45, and then they have to all rush.
Right.
Because they have to go to the regular parade, the regular one in downtown New Milford. This is the precursor. This is the pre-parade. So no matter what I have to do on Memorial Day weekend, I always plan it so that I always have from quarter of 8 and till 9 o'clock free, so I can take part in my Galesville Memorial Day Parade.
I was actually just talking to Mrs. Rogg about this, how New Milford really is just a bunch of agglomerated villages, right? So you have Mariel, Northville, and they all are sort of vehemently independent of each other.
Oh, they have an identity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Each one has a unique identity. And then there's the lake people. There's several different lake people. There's the private communities, and then there's the homes of the people who live here full time. Yeah, it's a very, what I love about New Milford is it's so healthy in the sense that the demographics extends to all socioeconomic groups. You've got a solid middle class. You have more affluent people. You have people who struggle. So it's a very wholesome, it's a microcosm of America.
Absolutely.
Where some little towns in Litchfield are skewed so that they're very, very prosperous people, and then maybe some people who work on the roads or clean houses or whatever, you know. But here we have this solid middle, and those are the people who are the coaches for the Little League, and they run the PTOs, and they volunteer in the firehouses, and they work on town committees, and they have small businesses here. And so we have this solid, like anything, any place else, there are people who are transient, corporate people who move around. But here we have a core of people who are committed to the town, some for several generations, and I think that's very, very wholesome.
A dedicated community.
Yeah.
Really, that's what it boils down to, I think. I mean, it's sort of the lifeblood of what makes New Milford, New Milford.
Well, and I think it's the lifeblood of what small town America is.
Yeah.
And we're very, very lucky here because this is a small town, although geographically it's the largest municipality mm-hmm. in Connecticut. We're spread out.
Right.
But we're very, very close to centers of population and culture. Mm-hmm. So we're an hour and a half to Lincoln Center. We're an hour and a half to Hartford. We're 3 hours to Boston. We're, you know, so that we're an hour and a half to New Haven. So we have universities. We have teaching hospitals that we can access. We have theater and museums and everything that big cities have, but close enough.
Right.
So that we're not really isolated. So it's just wonderful. We have the wonderful lake. We have a lot of open land. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of hiking. We have lovely back roads that you could hike.
The most amount of unpaved roads in the state of Connecticut. We have the most amount of dirt roads.
Right, and I don't know if you'd realize this, but people lobby not to have their roads
paved. Old Mill Road. They fought against it.
They work hard because they don't want it to be a shortcut someone else. And the dirt roads slow people down. So it is very, very, very nice. One of my other favorite times in New Milford is the fair. That's another thing that I will not miss. And I come to the fair mostly to see people, because you know that everybody is here at the fair, and you'll see people and you'll connect with them. And the most involved people have their table and whatever it is, you know, Save the River or artists who put up their work to sell. And I love to go into little shops. People know that they're not going to sell a lot, but they're there and they give out little treats. And it's just lovely to walk around the fair. And my children when they were in college, used to try to come home for the fair. Several of them ran the 8-mile race. Now I have a granddaughter who's 7 years old, lives in Massachusetts. She comes to the fair. So the fair is a big part of what it means to live in New Milford.
Do you feel like it's changed, the fair?
I think the fair has changed in the sense that it's gotten more like more carnival.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's like two, the upper green and the lower green.
Right,
so
right.
The lower green is still old New Milford. And then the upper green, we do have some local people who put up tables. Mm-hmm. But then there are people who, they must spend their life going from craft show to fair all
right.
around. And that's fun too,
yeah.
you know, and the kids like it. And but it's not all circus or sideshow. This this group who this art business right on the corner,
oh, yeah.
they're there, and so children can paint pottery or do some kind of a craft project. So if you're careful, if you pick and choose, you can do some very lovely things at the fair. And there's also the local talent, you know,
right.
people sing, they dance, you know, the...
But it's sort of a maintenance of community, right?
Yeah, and also the volunteer ambulance corps,
right.
they're there, and you could go in and have your blood pressure taken or whatever. But it's very, very nice. It's nice.
Well, this has been exactly what I'm looking for, and I don't know are there anything else you wanted to add?
Yes.
Okay.
I came in 1972, and I retired from working in the schools in 2004. So I worked in the New Milford Public Schools all those years, and I got to know a lot of people. And when I walk around town, wherever I go, I meet parents of former students or former students. Like you, your brother is my former student. And I have always felt that I'm part of the families of the students that I have. And the reason why I feel that is that when you're a teacher, you actually spend more time with the child than the parents. Mm-hmm. Because you come to school and you're with them for 5 to 6 hours a day. At home they sleep. At home, you know, they have to do laundry and this and that. Huh? And I have all that quality time, and I worked closely with the parents, and so I just feel as if that my relationship to them is special in a way that I've made an impact. Because I think especially when you work with young children, essentially what you're doing is you're teaching values, you're teaching the love of learning, mm-hmm. you're teaching lifelong learning habits. And so it's just very lovely to be able to know that people know who you are, and wherever I go, I meet people. And now I have children and grandchildren who are all out of state. No one lives in Connecticut. And they keep saying to me, my grandchildren especially, Baba, why are you still there? You know, why are you there all by yourself in Galensville? And I look at them and I say, I can't leave my people.
Right. Absolutely.
I can't leave my people. This is my home.
So, it just occurred to me, because I wasn't alive when this happened, but mm-hmm. do you feel like it changed something when they pulled the schools out of the center of the town? Like, so they were all dispersed after that, right? We have the high school over here, we have Northville and Scaticook over there, we have Hill and Plain, we have JPS. I mean, do you think it changed the character at all, or do you think it didn't really matter?
No, I don't think it mattered.
Okay.
Because in a way, I think I think the schools should be sort of sanctuaries.
Mm-hmm.
and it's okay. And everyone is bused now. There, even if we had a school downtown, no one would let their child walk to school anymore, which is, you know, a shame, but it's the way of the world. Mm-hmm. So everyone is going to be bused anyways. And the school and the town is so large, but they're not that far. It's just, what, 7 miles to Northville?
Right.
It's to, Sarah Noble is 5 miles over there. They're all clustered. The schools are essentially clustered close.
Right, right.
They're not way, way out.
Mm-hmm.
Hill and Plain is probably the one that's furthest out.
Right.
And that's right off Route 7. And it's very, very close to a center of population in the southern end of the town.
Right.
So, no, I don't think that was a problem. I think the problem is being solved. I think we went for a while when there were too many empty businesses on the green. And so there were less and less reason for people to come downtown. But now that people are buying the buildings and new businesses are opening, and the library, which I believe is really the heart of this town.
I agree.
This is the reason why you come downtown to go to the library. And the library, after 20 years of bursting at the seams, I think they'll finally get their remodeling. So there'll be more room for young adults, for teenagers and children. They do a wonderful job here. When my children were in college, I worked part-time here in the library.
Oh, wow.
I filled in, I did different things, and I sometimes worked at the reference desk. And what I discovered is that many, many people use this library for business purposes. So there'll be, for example, there would be men and women who worked sort of concierge work, where they would maintain people's properties. They would do landscaping work. They would do a little carpentry. So someone would say to them, "Oh, we got a new pool vacuum cleaner. You know, will you install it for us?" And they would say, "Sure." They had never done this before. They would come to me, and we would look up, and we would find the information they needed. And so they would learn how to do whatever it is they have to do. Then they would go out and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And people who come here and need to get their GED, they come in. I think there's a literacy group that works out of the library that helps people learn English. It's really the heart of the town. And as I think the tragedy is if the library ever moved away from the green. That would be a tragedy. But now that businesses are being revitalized, we have a bookstore, we have plenty of little restaurants, we have this lovely art business, crafts and art.
And the reuse of older space too, which is really smart. I mean, the bank building.
Right, and they've maintained the character. So rather than tearing down these old buildings, they remodel them. And there's a certain charm that we have. It doesn't look like any other town.
No.
We have the two churches on the green. Each of them represent a different architectural style. They kept the Richmond Center that was once a school. It's now a senior center. That is, they maintained the integrity of it. The lawyer's office is a beautiful old building.
Yeah.
There's two beautiful buildings here that I think are in transition.
Yeah, and there's Charlie Barlow's house too.
Charlie Barlow's
gorgeous.
That is a historic home.
Yeah.
And then on the south end, Lillis, that whole south of the green, maintains the integrity of the town. Oh, another thing that I should mention is the youth sports that we have here. That is very, very wholesome and wonderful. It really meant a lot. It means a lot, I think, because people, you know, they get together, the parents do the carpooling, they meet each other while the kids are playing sports. Not everybody can make the high school teams, but everybody can participate in the youth sports that here and there. I think that's really important. It's team building. It gives kids confidence.
And it's really, again, it's one of those things that's, it's one of those community maintenance, right? So we have all these individual communities, and these are the things that glue those communities together.
Right.
But is there anything, would you like to add anything else? I'm not rushing you. I just,
I do. I have another little wonderful anecdote. When I was teaching one year, and I had the child of the then current mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Pat Murphy, and we were studying communities, and we were learning about New Milford. And so we studied that. We took a little field trip downtown, and then we studied about the history of New Milford, and then points of interest. And so we decided to, I like to do concrete hands-on learning, and so I thought, and I have some craft skills, and so I said to the youngsters, let's make a quilt. We'll make a New Milford quilt. And so the children picked a different, each of them picked a place in New Milford that meant a lot to them. Parks, you know, swing, the Young's Field, the library, the Lynn Deming Beach, the lake. We didn't even talk about the lake. That's another wonderful community where everyone takes their children to the lake.
Right.
You don't have to belong to a country club.
Yeah.
Everybody swims in the lake in New Milford. All you need is a little tag here for your car. And you go and your children have this wonderful experience. And so they paint, they color it on the cloth in special crayons that would take heat and wouldn't fade. And Miss Pat Murphy is a quilter.
Mm-hmm.
And so she took the quilt home and she stitched it together and finished it beautifully, very professionally. And I had it for years hanging in my classroom. And when I retired, I called the library and I said, this is really too precious. Here we have the mayor who participated in this quilt, and here we have children in a public school who made this quilt, and it's dated, and we have all the main important buildings and important community spaces, open spaces, in New Milford, and so I donated it to the library, and it's in the archive.
Oh, wow.
Right, so I have this vision that that in the year 284, someone will take it out and say, oh, look at this. This is what New Milford was like, you know, in the year 2000. That's why I'm really so happy to participate that, because I think that you need a sense of the past in order to have the courage to go into the future.
It's very well said.
You know, you have to feel like you're rooted,
mm-hmm.
and that you're just in, that you know whose shoulders you're standing on in order to look forward to the future.
Absolutely. That's very well said. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Okay.
So, thank you so much.